This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We are in beautiful Burbank, the city that Jay Leno built, right?
Who did?
Jay Leno, kind of. I don't know. Anytime I hear Burbank, I think of the area you live. Oh, should I have not said that?
No, they're all going to come.
Everyone's coming
to Burbank. They're all coming, breaking into my home.
All the people that are, well, they're probably already perched outside Jay Leno's house.
Yeah.
He's the most murderable.
I believe that you say Burbank is the city that Jay Leno built because of the acid-washed denim dome that is...
He
put up over the city in 1992.
Yes, yes. The acid wash. It's acid washed on the top and the bottom, letting you know it's okay to do denim on denim.
It's always been okay for old Jay.
You know what? I've heard that it is okay to do denim on denim these days.
I think you can. I wouldn't go chambray on a light wash jean.
Right. It depends on, it's nice to do it with a darker denim.
Yeah, you don't want to look like you work at, I don't know, an acid factory?
You're right. He dresses like he works at some sort of a manual labor job when he's doing his jaywalkings.
I mean, we are talking about something that happened in the past, too. We could probably
forget. Let's talk about the future.
Yes. How about those?
Let's talk about Jay Leno's future.
He's going to go to Mars. I volunteered him to go to Mars.
He
will surely die there.
We can only hope. Oh, why am I being so aggressive towards him?
We're bandwagoneering about hating Jay Leno.
What else could we say Burbank is well known for? New Wave Entertainment, where we're about to pick up our next guest, Sarah Schaefer.
So exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. So we know Sarah, of course, from her podcast Nikki and Sarah, and the show they had on MTV, Nikki and Sarah Live,
which was great.
Sarah was the second name in the title of that project.
They probably did it alphabetically.
Yeah.
I
don't think either one of them had any kind of dominance over the other. You know right where it is. New Wave. Okay, we're here.
Right?
Wow.
We are here.
That might be her.
Is that her with the ponytail?
It might be her.
Yeah. That's how close we were.
That's amazing. Well, we're going to have a nice full...
Wait, is this a red carpet? Hi.
Oh, Comedy Dynamics.
Hi.
A seminar.
That is her.
Let's ask her about the Comedy Dynamics seminar. I don't know what that is, but I did just see...
What if I honked?
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hop on in back.
Hey, guy.
Hi.
Hi there.
Oh, my gosh.
there's
okay,
a...
Okay, I'm picking up the mic.
You're yes. Perfect.
It's so good to meet you in person, finally, because I'm a huge fan. So this is really exciting.
Sarah, Karen, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Sarah.
I'm a huge fan of yours.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so flattered.
We have a mutual friend, Scotty Landis.
Love me some Scotty.
He's the greatest, right?
Yeah. I think your mic has fallen off, Karen.
No.
Yeah.
Did that whole thing get lost?
Oh, I don't know, but...
Oh, guys. It'll... Oh, you guys.
Oh, I know, I know.
Guys.
It was the,
I'm back. I'm back.
So, just the...
It smells like a cinnamon roll in here.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good, because I...
What a nice compliment.
I have dogs, so yeah. I'm afraid that...
Well, they must
be
really into cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, they are
That's
wonderful
all they
chefs.
They really are in horrible shape.
Both very fat.
Were you at the Comedy Dynamics Seminar?
Yeah, it was a seminar. No, it was a taping. They're doing like a stand-up show that they filmed, and they're going to put it on their across all their digital platforms.
Oh, nice. Cross-platforming.
It's called digitizing those platforms.
Yeah, and I did a stand-up set in front of a sort of, you know, these things are always a little weird when mm-hmm. you do stand-up in, they set it up pretty nice. You know, it seemed like a club setting.
Was it stand-up in front of, like, your management people?
No, thankfully.
Okay,
there was a real audience there. They were a little... They weren't the best audience, but, you know, they assured us that they were going to make it sound great. And I was like, ooh, laugh track, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what else could that possibly mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, they mic the audience, so they can probably boost it up a little, but it was
fun. And this was just, like... Your management being like, we're just going to make our own stand-up show?
No, they're not my management. Oh. They are...
We're going to start a rumor that they are.
Please don't make people think that.
Bidding war. Bidding
my managers
war.
Are far less well-known. no, the... It's... I guess... Comedy Dynamics is a new thing, but... New Wave is like... they do specials and albums, and they also do a lot of weird post... production for films. Not weird, but it's a company that does a lot of different things, and they're putting out a lot of stand-up content. So
yeah, I see their logo everywhere.
Yeah,
or maybe it's a motion graphic.
Yeah, New Wave does a lot of specials that you'll see on Netflix. I have an album coming out with them
That's great.
A few weeks.
Terrific.
What's
Check
it called
it out.
What's it called?
Chrysalis.
Oh, my favorite stage of pupa.
It is. It's my favorite stage, too. It's the development and transformation from caterpillar to butterfly.
You guys don't like larvae?
Those assholes.
I did when I was a kid.
But now you think they're gross.
Yeah.
It has. Let's grow up. I leave the meaning up to the listeners. There's one butterfly reference on the album, but it also just represents that this material is like my transformation from a not comedian into a comedian. So
wow.
I always think of the song by Crazy Town, "Come My Lady, Come My Lady, You're My Sugar Pie, or My Butterfly, You're My Butterfly."
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
It's funny that I brought it up, and then I said sugar pie.
Yeah, I do a cover of that on the album.
Oh, good. Perfect. Just a kind of acoustic rap,
mm-hmm.
Saying it out loud.
God, I'm sorry I brought that guy up.
I liked it.
Well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
How do you approach the? I'm looking to launch my second album. What are you gonna do?
I don't know. This is my first album, and I've been doing stand up for a long time, so it's like, it feels like a long time coming.
Right.
But it's, I'm really proud of how it came out. Just turned in the final edit past week, and,
Where'd you tape it?
In Union Hall in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was, that was a place I used to perform at a lot when I lived in New York, and,
You're out here now?
Yeah, I live out here now, and I felt like I haven't done the road extensively, as many of my peers have, so I didn't have a club out there that felt... like a guaranteed, like, oh, it's gonna go really well.
Yeah.
And I just did so much stand up in New York that I feel like I actually do have an audience there that's real.
It's risky doing it at a club. I attempted to record my album three times on the road, and you never know what Yahoo group of Americans is going to show up at the...
It could be a party of people that work at Yahoo.
Those guys. Those people.
It could be just an empty room except for Yahoo Serious. But I...
That would be amazing. That would get like a lot of press.
Just only him laughing, but super Australian-y. It's good, I think, to do it in a place, a safe place.
Yeah, because most people listen to it, they're not like, oh, way to be lazy, Schaefer. You did it in the easy. No, people don't care. They're not thinking.
No.
You know, want it to sound like you at your best. And I really felt like I got that. So I'm very excited. But I'm nervous because I've never had my stand up. There's not a lot of it out there. There's like two jokes that you can find online. I've really not put any. I haven't done a late night set. I haven't done a half hour on Comedy Central. So I'm nervous about. This will be the first time that I'm getting any sort of feedback about my stand-up on the internet. Totally different than in the moment when you're getting laughs.
Turn that nervousness to nothing but excitement.
And stay away from those comment boards.
Do not read the comments.
I know. Sometimes I do just as like a form of cutting. just to feel pain, to feel something.
I had the first time I ever read a comment about myself was the last.
Oh, wow. I wish I had that.
I think I've told this story before, but it was on, it was some Mr. Show like fan board. And I had not been doing stand up for a really long time. So I was almost like, just trying to see if anybody remembered me. It was almost the feeling of doing it.
It's just curiosity,
Yeah, but definitely coming from a pathetic place. And so I saw my, like I basically did a search for my name and it came up and the comment was, Karen Kilgariff is super hot when she's not being a lard ass, but what do I know? I'm a quadriplegic.
How do you
I mean, there's so many layers.
It was everything.
It's a difficult approach.
I literally was like, that's the only internet comment I ever need to read again.
Wow. Well, of course you attack them, but you really got to sidestep that one. With the quadros, you got to really tiptoe.
It was an emotional roller coaster, and then it dumped me off at, I'm fine with whatever anybody thinks. It all got encapsulated in that guy's comment.
Oh, man.
So
sometimes they're useful, though. I remember seeing one that said, this guy is ripping off Dimitri Martin, and I kept seeing that. but usually on a clip that had the same joke in it, and...
Then you realized you had a joke that was similar to one of his or something?
Yeah, or exactly verbatim the same.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that, but,
but
you know.
But you just did.
But he, you know, someone stole a joke from someone.
Yeah.
And, named Chris Fairbanks.
Yeah. Anyway. But that was useful. I was like, what the hell is all, I don't have a similar style. They weren't talking about style. They were talking about exact
shit.
Yeah, but, that's a very specific way to be useful. But I think in general, it's people giving an opinion that you probably would never ask their opinion in real life.
Constructive criticism by a 15-year-old that calls you.
That's never done stand-up.
Yeah.
That's the problem to me.
Also, there's so much, I mean, for a woman, it's so much about your appearance.
Yeah.
And it's like, this has nothing to do with it. And I'm just exhausted by it. Even... Like, when I get a compliment, like, she's hot and funny. I'm like, I just wish you hadn't said the hot part. Like, I just don't care. It bugs me. It's like, I'm not, you know, there was recently I saw some comments on a radio show I had done. And I was really proud. It was like a good radio show. It was like 45-minute interview, like, just real talk. Like, it was great. For a morning radio show, it was special.
It's very special when those go great.
Yeah. And on their Facebook page, I just, like, clicked on it and then saw some comments, and they were, like, it was, like, three comments that were really negative. And there was one guy who went and was replying to all of the comments to get a discussion going about how much he hated me.
Oh, wow.
And on one, a guy was, like, I got one positive comment, but it was, like, she's hot. And then the guy replied, the one that really hated me replied to that and said, trust me, this picture is the, I've looked it up. This is the only, she is not hot in any other picture.
Oh my God.
And I was like, Jesus.
Just.
Like, he did his research. Like, this guy was like on a rampage.
Seriously.
And he was like, looked like he was in his mid 30s. Had kids in the picture with him. It was like a Facebook profile and his profile. You know, I'm like, you have children and you're doing this.
And so then you, of course, attacked his children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I found them. I doxed his children.
You've just been doxxed, Taylor.
I published their phone numbers on 4chan.
and that they're in the 85th percentile.
Specific.
That's public now.
Yeah. Guess who guess who isn't honor students at so-and-so elementary? Your little uggos.
Well, it's part of it. That's the hard part about, like, especially these days. That's the hard part about putting your stuff out there. It's hard enough to put your stuff out there.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Just to do the show.
Exactly.
To do the show I just did was hard.
Just to wake up in the morning is hard.
There's a lot of hard things.
Did I go too far?
No.
Yeah. And then there's another layer, a second wave of bullshit that you have to deal with once it's out there.
Yeah.
I can't even relate to it being just an attack on your gender. People's instinct, though, is to just... To go, like when I was wearing this is not at all the same, but it is the same instinct in people. So maybe it's making them not all haters of women, but they are. Most people hate women. Most women hate women. That bothers me too.
Yeah,
women. Anyway, every time I wore a goddamn sweater, some people be like, "Oh, sweater, cardigan sweater." Like they just just saying what you're.
That's not to say men definitely get talked. If you're in the public eye, you get your appearance gets talked about regardless. But not as much. I feel like it's so central to the conversation for women that it's just like For a long time, I was used to it and didn't even think anything of it. But then it's like one of those things. Once it's pointed out to you how fucked up it is, you're like, ugh. Anyway.
Well, good. Just don't. I really don't read comments anymore. Just wait for a positive review and read those, and then you'll feel great.
But see, if you take... This is what I've been thinking a lot about. If you take a positive review seriously, then that means you have to take the negative review seriously.
That's right.
Nah.
And so you have to read none of them.
No. I read all the positive ones, because I need... I have negative reviews kind of just scrolling through my head where I actually have written them. And
Too.
I don't need to... We all give ourselves a hard enough time. Only read the good ones.
Well, I had the same thing, where last year put out an album, and that was the first time I ever put anything out at all of my own, like, stand-up performing or whatever.
Yeah.
And, that way. And without even looking at reviews either way or doing anything, just the idea that it was out there, that people could buy it and listen to it and judge it, I had a whole thing with that. It was really hard. Because,
I'm definitely scared.
It's scary, it's like it invokes all the demons of the worst things you can think of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just project it. I mean, it's a whole thing. So there's, that's the beauty of art, of being an artist.
But
you just get all that.
In the past year, though, you've found it to be a positive. You've gotten mostly good feedback and everything, right?
I have to say, though, I think it's mostly... Unless somebody literally put a review in front of me that was like, "Did you read this? It was really good," which is something my sister has to do.
Yeah.
I've not sought out any response, good or bad.
Yeah, maybe I should try to do that, because I have been thinking about like getting off Twitter and social media for a little while and paying someone to do the promo shit for me that you need it for.
Yeah.
I would suggest that, yeah.
It's become pretty negative for me. Social media has always been a problem for me.
It's hard. Well, because you also have good conversations. I remember in the crazy Daniel Tosh rape arguing days, you said some great stuff on there. I would never get into it because
I regret it. Regret it deeply.
it is not the place for that discussion.
Yeah.
And the people that seem to quote-unquote win... are not because they're making the best point.
Exactly. When you make a reasonable point, no one cares.
It's letting other people run the clock. But but you did. It meant a lot to me that you would even kind of like engage in that way or like try
Thank
to
you.
Say something, because I don't know.
Thanks for noticing.
But it's hard. I mean, it's hard.
It is. Every time I've ever weighed in on any of those hot debates in our business online, or not even in our business, it's anything I get. And some people like really are outspoken, and those women, especially the women, they get just so much brutal shit thrown at them.
I'm afraid that even when I 100% agree with someone, it bothers me when people are speaking their mind on Facebook specifically.
I quit Facebook.
Yeah, it's
after the
Karen,
I think it was the Tosh thing.
Oh,
wow. People went so crazy.
Was it Tosh or was it the UCB? It was one of these big debates. Like, you know, I don't know.
I don't even remember what that UCB thing was.
Should they pay comedians?
Oh,
and I ended up quitting because I wrote like a really long. It's the length. Facebook is, it's too long. There's too many comments. It's too in depth.
Yeah.
And you get sucked into it way too much and there's just too much emotion.
Yeah.
Twitter is, at least you can like, all right. You can't make much of a point. You kind of have to get off.
Yeah, you're in and you're out. And
but Facebook, I wrote a long, like, thoughtful, reasonable, like, I understand both sides, blah, blah, blah. And then someone who I know, but not well, like
just
a comedian I had met, like, once.
This is your only good photo out of the number.
Yeah. Guys, trust me. I looked up the other photos. And she just, her comment was too long.
Oh, wow.
And I deleted my Facebook 30 minutes later.
Ugh.
I have a fan page, and like, and now I have... in order to have a fan page, you have to have a regular Facebook page to be the administrator. Mm. So I had to create, like, a fake... I just have a really small profile that I... And so I can see my, like, sister's pictures of her kids and
sure,
stuff.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But I am not engaged in Facebook anymore, and I could not be happier.
It's so crazy. The idea... People arguing stuff like that from, like, the office in their house, they'll say things they would never say to a person's
it's
face.
It's bothered me beginning, even with just email. People are willing to fire off feverishly written things that they would never say...
Yeah.
To your face or even over the phone. I remember early on when I was first getting my very first email account, my dad was always complaining about people that worked for him just saying, like, telling him off via email, and he would just always just call them and go, hey, let's talk about this. It seems like you just said this and this to me. And they'll go, oh, I didn't. I thought it's always, and now it's even worse because you can add pictures and bring it to certain people's attention.
You can bring a lot of people into it.
I've done the thing where, and this wasn't too bad because it was with somebody that I know and am friends with, but at the time didn't know him well enough. I did the thing where I sent kind of a long email that was like, this meant so much to me, and it was like a thank you, but I was kind of a little bit caught up in the day we had spent together, so it was very, I get very, like, into the writing of,
I lose the point
of, like, what
and
I'm
you
doing.
Just, the person opens the email, and they're like, what the fuck is this?
And I did the one where I did that, so it was, like, a four-paragraph email, and then my Gmail said it didn't send. So I immediately rewrote it and resent it.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon that day, he sent me an email that said, those were two of the nicest emails
oh,
I ever
shit.
Got. And I thought I was going to die. Like, I was, like, sitting there just going, like, oh, my God. Like,
was he being sarcastic?
No, like, no.
They were different enough that you know that he was like, oh, there's a nice second email that is unrelated.
But also I think he is the kind of person that got the general... It's like we didn't know each other that well, and now we're really good friends, where he kind of gave me the benefit of the doubt of like...
But there had to be duplicate sentences.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God, that would... You're making my back sweat.
I know, right? It was like, so I basically might as well have sent him an email that said, I'm deeply in love with you, because it was that. but it was more of like, because I had just done a big show, and it meant a lot to me, and it was like one of those things. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had a deep conversation. It was all these layers of shit that then just turned into like a Jane Austen level humiliation where I was like, I can't believe that's like, and so from like, since that day, I never sent, if something like doesn't send or there's any problem at all, I just shut my computer and like walk away from it. Like I'm not, nothing's going to happen for at least a week.
I have a rule about emotional emails, that I write them without the person's email address in the to section, mm-hmm. so I can't accidentally send it.
Oh, good thinking. Wow. Yeah.
And then I close it, and I force myself to wait 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then I reread it, and usually I don't even send it. Or if I do, it's like two sentences as opposed to like 18 paragraphs.
You literally wait till the next day?
Wow. Yes. I started doing this in my...
I regret 90% of my emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, these are like angry, usually confrontational, which I shouldn't even be sending an email. I should be talking to the person in
person.
Right,
right. That's what I'm saying. Pick them up like my dad's office phone. Yeah. 1989.
Pick them up.
I think even worse than like... Because those, you don't want to say something you regret, and you know, you don't want to like cause a fight that isn't necessary or whatever. But my thing that I do that I regret is I'll send like what you did, Karen. I'll send a gushy, spilling my guts, like, you know, just, you know, really emotional email to someone, and then like they don't respond with the long response. They'll just be like, "Oh my god, thank you. I'll respond to this later," and then they never do, and I'm just like, fuck, why did I just spill my guts to you? And then you're like, not giving it, because all I want is like intimacy with people. Like that is my, I'm addicted to it. I want to be close to people. I want best friends. I want, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to be just like in you, like as a friend. Which is really fucking weird.
I want to wear your skin.
I want to wear your skin.
Why can't I?
And I want to like live in your bed with you.
What's the problem?
I want to make a Muppet out of your face and put it on my face.
I don't understand why you resist me.
Why is that a problem?
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid I am the person that says, oh, I'll get back to this because I'm overwhelmed. If there's a long email.
Yeah, I know. I'm like too much.
I get
too much.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get back to this. And I take a nap and then I never...
Part of my thing, too, is I love writing so much that I love figuring out exactly how I want to say something.
I'm the same way.
It's so satisfying to be like, I'm going to tell you how much you mean to me in a way that's and then exactly do the thing I want to do to you. Like, it's going to endear me to you, but then it's also going to, like, make you feel good. And, like, all these things.
I like writing. That's why I like email and sometimes in that way, because you can be so clear with your feelings.
Yeah.
I like to be nice in an email, and every other sentence nag somebody.
Which makes them fall in love with you,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good trick. My worst is when people want, and this is kind of my dating problem, like still, it's taken me forever to learn, of like if someone texts you, the whole politic of texting back and waiting and not or whatever, because I'll totally be like, if you have a jokey relationship, I just want to get a good joke in. Mm-hmm. So I'll totally sacrifice like seeming alluring or mysterious.
Yeah,
or
waiting 2 days or whatever the hell you're supposed to do.
Because I'll be like, here's the hilarious thing now. And I've driven away scores of people by doing that.
Yeah.
Not really, like three, but still. Horrifying. Like you just can't learn the lesson because it seems so funny to me. Or also same thing with emailing early in the morning.
Oh,
because I get up at like 6.
I have
6.
To force myself not to do that.
An 8 a.m. email can freak the shit out of people.
Oh, yeah. They're like, what has she fucking been doing?
Yeah.
Like,
just been up looking at your picture. No big deal.
Just you. Just a picture of you and me and a cup of coffee.
Just woke up thinking about you.
No biggie.
Just like every day.
Near these knives.
Thought I'd drop you a line.
And now, living in L.A. now, I've become acquainted with the, like, when you're in it with someone, when you're in some sort of, like, argument or drama with someone, the having to pull the car over to text or write something because you're just like, you've got to fucking say it now, you know, like, which, and I'm like, this is defying my rule, but I'm like, I'm so mad, I need to pull over and be like, but then this! What about this? It's just so
One time I feverishly pulled over to, and then I just typed, you made me pop my tire because I hit the curb and my tire went flat and then I blamed the person and that's not why I pulled over to...
Mm-hmm.
That's a horror. Yeah, it's I do a lot of that. But it's also you're just being safe when you do that.
Yeah.
It's okay to pull.
No, I don't fight while driving.
No, pull over.
I do like and really enjoy the car now being a place where I can talk out my feelings to myself. the best, and just right? scream at someone mm-hmm. that's pissing me off, just be like, you knew, you knew that would hurt my feelings. I'm just like having a fucking meltdown in the car.
Yes.
And it's really good. I mean, it's very therapeutic. You can't do that in New York or you're a crazy person.
Yeah, no.
We do a podcast in our car. Did you know that?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love, I'll do some interviews in the car. If it's like a long ride, mm-hmm. I practice what my stance is on things.
Oh, yeah, I do that too.
Like professional stance practice.
Professional stance
in a way that
practice.
Never comes into play in my real life. Like, in no way. But I'll be like, you know, I think it's just really important to communicate. Like, things like that that, like, do it. Not apply to my real life at all.
Oh,
like, almost
so
like
great.
Practicing TED Talks.
Yes.
That you'll never give.
I can't go, you guys. I have stance practice.
Guys. I gotta nail my stance down pretty hard before I go. What's your stance?
You gotta know your stance.
Yeah.
It's very important.
I don't know that I talk to myself in my car. I yell angry. I get angry in my... My car is where I get my angriest.
So at anyone's... Are there drivers?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Or yeah. just... Yeah, I get... You know how anxious I am. There's a reason Karen's driving. I get... Yeah. And people have commented on it. Apparently, I have a surreal... vehicular temper.
Explosive.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. And it makes people scared and takes away from comedy.
Yeah.
So, Karen operates the motor vehicle, and I... But I... You know, it's good. That to me is therapeutic. You don't That's act good. That way outside your car where there's people and ears.
Well, and also, you may have noticed this, one of the great things about L.A. is... Probably 80% of the drivers here are the worst drivers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed that.
I have.
I don't have much to compare it to because I lived in New York for so long and didn't have a car. And before that, I lived in Virginia. It's like, I don't know. It was like in college. I didn't really know what driving
Honestly,
was.
When I moved here, I was relieved that people didn't drive as crazy as they did in Austin, Texas, where people go 100. People go so fast. Like, we're the biggest state fast. Like, there's a pride in speed that is equivalent to
I drive like an old woman. I'm extremely cautious.
Me too.
But I don't get mad. I go, oh, you're going to come right in front of me, are you? I'll be like,
well.
And I'll be fucking douchebag. And I'll just be really calm about it. But the thing that I noticed here is, and this is more just where I live, I hear car accidents or near car accidents every day.
Yeah.
Where I live, and just, you know, it's, and I'm like, it shouldn't be this much. Like,
I'm surprised it's not more.
I've become very alert. I am up front. I almost have my forehead touching my windshield when I drive. I'm like this. Yeah. But I really do think that in L.A., people are all, for the most part, driving with the frantic
fear
of each other. And I think that's
well, there's
fear is
fear, and then there's people who are just distracted on their phones doing whatever. And that's what, you know, like, because where I live right on... Well, not on Silver Lake Boulevard, but, like, I can see it from my apartment. Mm-hmm. I live on a different road that's next to it. And it's just a curvy road, and people go too fast on it. But you can't get up that much speed on it. It's just that people aren't paying attention coming around a curve. And they hit people.
Like, people really do look at their phones when they drive, though. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
It's so bad.
I do.
I really try not to.
I do it.
We both do it. Let's just all admit we do it.
Stoplights, and you shouldn't even do that because it's not.
Yeah.
I've been trying to save it for stoplights, but my problem is I will get the sense that people are going without looking up yet,
and you start to accelerate.
Right.
Yes, that's why a stoplight is bad idea.
It's bad. Like it's that kind of thing of just it being an adult. For me, I should just put my phone away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing going on that's that important.
I'm afraid that's when I have my thoughts to myself. That's when I want to address things. I'm driving. I'm thinking. That's where I do most of my business. But I use the voice command.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I'm like, just say what I want. I think that we should meet later, comma. We have to talk about this other stuff, period. Furthermore, comma, again. I don't say again.
Again.
Show that word, yeah.
Therefore, thus.
I've gotten very good at dictating with punctuation.
That's, oh, that's good.
I think it's it. Meanwhile, my eyes are on the road safely.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Just
I
thought
feel
I'd
like
brag
I've never
a little.
Used that.
It
I
works
do the Bluetooth
great.
Like for the phone, but I've never done voice command.
It
texting.
Really.
We can do audio texting now too, where you can just record a message and text it to someone.
Isn't that? Oh yeah.
Have you ever accidentally done that? Because I've accidentally.
A friend
sent
of mine
people.
Just did it to me, and it was just. All I heard was her dog barking and her going, no!
I'm the best! Wait. It's like little snippets of people's lives. I do it all the time.
It.
I'll just look down and I'll have sent someone the past 5 seconds. And I like panic of like, what the fuck was I just doing or saying? But it's usually like walking in a parking lot or something.
I have not pocket done that yet.
It's pretty great.
I need to
You've
start.
You've got
to
do it.
Yeah.
Get
so
in on that.
I'm going to get in
get,
on it.
Get doing it.
Get down on it.
So, Sarah, what, being in Los Angeles, what is the most fun thing you've done?
Compare. Contrast.
Oh.
New York. No, I made it much
I?
Heavier.
No. Do you think the pizza is as good here?
Yeah.
And is it spread out?
Is it really in the water, the tap water?
The most fun thing I've done here, just other than experiencing a new part of the country and great weather.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Shit, I'm
Have
so
Have you
boring.
Seen the celebrity yet?
I saw Miles Teller
Ooh.
At Best Buy.
At Best Buy?
Yeah, and he was picking some up, and he's the kid in Whiplash that plays the drums.
Uh-huh.
And I had never really seen him in anything before, and I fell in love in the movie. Like, I think he's very attractive.
Yeah, he
he's
is.
He's just my, he's like a young Richard Gere, and Richard Gere is like my favorite. I would fuck him into next week. My first sex dream ever was about Richard Gere. I don't know
so
what
funny.
It is about him. He doesn't, he's not even conventionally like as attractive as many other actors.
Can
but
I say what I think it is?
He's
Squinty's,
attractive though.
It's
That's
Squinty alpha swagger. It's
it
like
is.
He's saying fuck you all the time.
Yeah.
And
I
so
just,
it's kind of
like,
that
yeah,
like, oh,
do
what
that.
If he liked me?
Yeah.
What if the asshole liked me?
Yeah. I know. And they never do. but
because
yeah.
They don't like themselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck you into next week as a tattoo.
Yeah.
I think that's the best.
Yeah. That's what I was quoting 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
Oh, my God.
Did you
movie.
See that movie?
I did. I saw it in Miami. I was just
Ooh.
There last
That's
week.
Where you go. Florida.
I flew to Miami to see it. No, I was in Miami, and I had to go see it because I was filming something that I had to talk about it in. And I went to like a cine bistro, which is like you eat and drink while you're watching the movie.
With those big fluffy chairs?
Yes, big chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I went and it was all these Miami women, like middle-aged housewives, drunk off their asses. I didn't even hear most of the funny commentary because it was in Spanish that people were yelling out at the screen. Like big laughs would happen after a lady would say something and I'd be like, I don't know what she said.
Aww.
But it would be so funny because anytime anything hot would happen, which wasn't often, a woman would in the audience be like, ay.
Oh, that's so funny.
Ay,
that's
Dios awesome. Mio. It was so fun. But the movie was just a hot pile of trash.
Wasn't
like, it?
It
was just
oh,
so
wow.
bad. It was so fucked up and weird. There was only one sex scene that actually like turned me on. And it could have been a sex scene between any great lovers, you know, like it wasn't
any of the greatest.
It wasn't even that. It wasn't even really BDSM. Like, I mean, and this is the part, and I'm. It Ooh. Is a little.
Sorry,
hit a curb. Karen's having an orgasm from my description.
Just hearing about
she
this is amazing.
But Jesus. Yeah, she. Okay, so this is a little. It's not much of a spoiler because you find out very quickly in the movie. And I didn't know this because I didn't read the book or anything.
He's rude?
She's a virgin.
Oh, for the love
of... When she meets him. And no joke, the second time she has sex, she's tied up to the bed, blindfolded, and doing it doggy style and gets spanked. And I'm like, you just went from zero to... Like, your second time having sex was, like, more advanced. And then this is a tweet I'm quoting but that I did. It's, like, more advanced than my, like, 500th time having sex. Like... I don't think I've had sex that
I bet
time,
you can get
honest,
in there and do that.
All right. That's hilarious. I was thinking, because I've had a couple people that talked about what the sex was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's so hilarious. Like, there's shit on Tumblr. Like, if those people knew what real
BDSM.
Real BDSM, yeah. And, like, the stuff that's becoming very common to people.
Yeah, it felt almost, like too tame. Like, it was, you know, and she gets beaten at the end of the movie, and it's like...
Like, beaten up?
He, like, whips her really hard. Because she goes, it's, like, the worst fucking dialogue. She's like, do your worst. I want to know why you do this. And she's like, show me the worst you can do.
Oh,
and the worst
God's
is him
sake.
Whipping her with a belt really hard. And then she lets him do it. And then it finishes. I'm giving away the end of the movie. So.
It's plug your ears. Okay.
And she's like.
Pause.
She's crying. She finishes getting whipped with a belt. And then she gets up and he tries to touch her. And she's like, don't touch me.
Oh, no.
And then she leaves. And that's the end.
What?
Are you kidding me? That was
they
it?
They don't get married?
Get married. Because there's going to be a sequel, you know, where they
make
poops in her mouth and stuff like that.
Oh, no. The old Danny Thomas.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Is like, she goes from, it's so much of it is so unbelievable and weird. And like, his behavior at the beginning of the movie, if he wasn't rich and attractive, would be literal, like, stalker, serial killer behavior.
Have either of you read this book that was sweeping the nation?
I didn't read it.
No, of course not.
I can't read.
Yeah, I want to. I'm not a member of the BDSM community.
I recommend the movie Secretary if you want to see a real BDSM.
That's a hot movie.
It's a good one, yeah.
It's hot. A love story.
Yes, exactly.
It's like a true, like, they're both kinky. They both awaken to their who they are together.
Yes, and it's so consensual. She's like...
Oh, she's so...
It's almost like therapy for her. I love that movie. That's
love
a
that
really
movie.
Great movie.
Yeah, that is. What is BDSM? I don't even know what it stands for.
Bondage,
dominant, submissive. No.
Sadomasochism?
Sadomasochism?
Oh.
I don't know what D is.
Dominance, I think?
Probably
dominance, sadomasochism. Yeah.
Or daisies?
That's what it is.
Every time?
There's a lot of flowers. I haven't seen the movie, but I heard it appears.
I'm really into flower play.
You stick a daisy in a gun? That's
right?
Part
of
it every time.
I like when a girl comes up to me and it looks like she's going to kiss, and then she just blows a bunch of pollen into my face.
Oh, my God. That
is
very
turns
so
me
hot.
On. I mean, it doesn't turn me on so much as cause a horrible allergic reaction. I'm
which
to
is
pollen.
Part of the pain of
what
pollen,
are your
you know?
What are your depths that you're willing to go
I to? Nothing turns me on more than when I get, because I'm allergic to almost everything, one of them's the ocean. If I am getting down with and just my nose is just draining and I'm sneezing and I'm coughing and I get
it's like just one of the
that's
most
the
relaxing
hottest?
Oh God, turns me on. Yeah. I've currently have bronchitis. I really do. That's okay. I'm on antibiotics, but biotics? Is it biotics or bionics?
Biotics.
Bionics is definitely an old person way of saying that. Antibiotics.
I'm on antibiotics. I have a horrible case of bronchitis. Thank God it wasn't pneumonia. I'm done.
Antibiotics.
You guys, take it away. Enough with my... We're here at Meltdown.
Anyway.
We're just kind of chilling.
I saw Miles Teller in a Best Buy
that
is the moral of that
so
long
good.
Story.
And he's an actor and also a real-life drummer, right? I think that he's a drummer turned actor.
Is he? Oh, that makes it even better.
I heard that he was a drummer, but not to that level, and that he basically studied to be that good for that movie.
Oh, wow.
That's
that
what
makes
I heard.
It even hotter.
I found him very appealing in that movie and then did a little research. And by research, I mean watched a Zac Efron movie that he was in.
I've heard,
he's
He's in some other shit. That's not...
And shit being the operative word.
Good. I need to see that Whiplash shit, though.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Oh, it's
no.
good.
It's great.
That J.K. Simmons guy's from Missoula. He spoke at my graduation.
Oh.
Oh, you absolutely must see it.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good movie.
But in that movie, it's super mean, right? Super stern.
I have a sexual fantasy, Whiplash fantasy, that is Miles Teller fingering me, and then me going, not my tempo, which is a line from the movie.
Do you have huge guns and a black t-shirt?
With... Yes, and I keep, like, smacking him in the face.
Just throwing stuff.
Not my tempo. Speed it up.
I kind of love that, like, people were so outraged by how mean he was. And
he was very homophobic, like, in his insults, which... made me prickle a little bit sometimes, but I was like, no, I mean, that is, if you're going to do your worst, you know, like, that's what you do.
And I feel like that's the, that kind of pressure is good. But negative things, when you're trying to learn the thing you want to do, having like having it be really hard is really good, in my opinion.
I liked what his character said about, like, you know, that if I had told you you were good, you would never have been great.
Yeah. I saw that, like, in the trailer, and I agreed with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was yelling, and it seemed like he was about to choke him when he said that. He's very aggressive. A lot of people don't know. He's kind of a big... Yeah. Goes to the gymnasium, it seems like.
Who, J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, tosses around the medicine ball. He's just got, like, one of those
He's just jacked.
He's got old muscle on him.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be jacked, but now I'm just a...
He comes off pretty jacked in the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Because he wears a tight T-shirt, and you can see that he's...
Well, now, Yeah. Whoop, uh-oh. Hi. Sorry. Oh, we're going to have to move, aren't we? No, we'll see.
We'll see about that.
We're going to wait it out.
Let's see what happens. In that movie, is it like a teaching, is it a high school teacher, or is that like a special music school?
Juilliard type situation.
Yeah.
Because my sister's a teacher, and she just got fired for saying bullshit in front of some kids.
How old?
She was, fourth grade? I'm not sure. I should know that. She should be teaching high school. That's what the union...
That's extreme.
She got fired. There was one other strike that was a Facebook post she made a year ago. And they kept that in mind, too, because she said something about, now I know why they hit their knuckles with rulers. It was a comedic blog-like post where she said that, and the principal happened to be your Facebook friend.
Oh, you never.
So she got fired, and my point is, my music teacher in high school when I played trombone, and a bunch of teachers were so abusive. He threw a pencil at my face, and it whizzed past my eye, and I remember saying... Wow, what if that had gone in my eye and blinded me? And he got frustrated and left the room. Mm-hmm. That guy worked at that high school. He worked there.
Yeah.
Or
the
middle
teachers
school.
At my high school were fucking lunatics. There was
mine too.
A lot of them were drunks. We had a priest that was literally schizophrenic. He would, the entire theology class, he would draw maps on the board of how the communists were taking over San Francisco.
Oh, my
and
God.
And none of us said anything because we didn't have to study the Bible as long as he was doing that.
That's
so we
crazy.
All just, like, everyone just kept a lid on it, and we just knew if we sat there and listened to him talk about the communists taking over, that we could just hang out and not have to worry about, memorizing stuff.
Wow.
And that was just, like, I've actually written out some of it because it was so crazy, the amount of, like, kids getting screamed at and all of it, that, like, these days...
Is it Catholic school?
Yes.
Yeah. That's even more extreme.
It's crazy. It's like its own little world. But I mean, these days it's like, I think about that all the time. Like, kids, I think it's good, but at the same time, it's like, can be so extreme. Like, they can hear the word bullshit. If a teacher's a good teacher, that's crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe she just got that job too.
That's crazy.
That's why they let her, she has an Adam and Eve leaf, one the kind you cover your genitals with. Sarah, did you go to public school or do you?
I went to public schools. I lived in an area of Virginia that had really good public schools, and then in high school, I went to one of the first magnet schools, charter schools in the country, and it was in my city, and it was a new trend
starting.
What
does that mean? Is that like Montessori for older kids? I don't know what it means.
No, but
took
it's
a stab.
It was a school, like, you had to apply to get into it. It was for, like, I hate the term gifted because it's... needlessly, like,
I was minutes from calling you gifted.
I am gifted.
Mm-hmm. You're gifted.
It was like a gifted thing. and it was really great for me because I went from a huge county school where I felt alone to like a smaller nerd school where I felt way more comfortable, like I could be myself, and I loved it. I loved my high school.
I'm jealous of anyone that went to that school, Emerson, that I only know of in stories. It's like a school.
College?
Yeah, it's like a school for artists and creative people.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a regular, you just get a degree and you draw and paint and make music and comedy and, oh, man.
Do you get to grade yourself?
That would be great.
I always wanted to go to whatever that school was.
Yeah.
Well, anytime I took a college course with the football team, they did have us come up and say, what do you think you earned? And it would just be football players going, an A. And they go, all right. Hey, nice catch the other night.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I got really, I was, very hard on myself academically. Like, I just wanted to be good, like, at things, and would try to be it wasn't like I want to be the best. I've never really had that in me, but I wanted to just do my best. And like, I've always thought, was that my parents that did that to me? But they've always been like, you were just always like that. Just your standard for yourself was so high that you would just be in constant pain. Yeah. And I'm still like that. I'm like, always like, it's not good enough. I have to work harder. I have to do that was a mistake. You know, I'm really hard on myself. So it was, in one way, I loved my high school, but in other ways, I just fed into what I already, you know, my college was like that, where it's just, I put myself in situations where it's probably too hard for me. And now if I think about, if I ever have kids, I already have this like gut feeling that I just don't want them to have to worry about any of, I just would be like, let's just let them go to whatever school. Like, I'm like, people when they're like, we got to live in the right neighborhood with the good schools. I'm like, nah, let's just live in the shitty neighborhood where it's more affordable and we can have like a nicer house and the kid will be fine. Like, I don't know. I have this like, I don't want my kid to suffer the way I have.
Yeah, I wonder if parents can control that. I always had their support and everything, but I anguished over. I was so timid and scared as a kid, and it wasn't anything they did. I was just a little worried. It was different. I wasn't motivated to do well. I did horrible in school, but I did worry about it, though. Not enough to change things. But I wonder, yeah, I always think that if my parents were, like, were they yelling at me and disappointed with me, would it have lit a fire under my ass? I don't know.
My dad was pretty hard on me about stuff. Some of it came from him, but...
Well...
It was a lot of it was within me.
My dad was J.K. Simmons. I said he was just from my town, but God, his shirts were tight and his punches were hard.
I literally figured out that everyone at my high school is crazy and never did homework the entire time.
Wow.
I don't know how I graduated from high school, and it's the reason I ended up getting kicked out of college, because I just never went to class and never did anything.
You didn't have the skills. Yeah, you didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't know how. Our high school is college prep, but I just got around everything. It was actually twice as hard, because I was just figuring out, like, I would just sit there and put it together in my mind of like, well, here's the test about the book, and this is the question being asked, so this is probably the answer. Right. There was a lot of that kind
of business.
I
did that a little bit, too, because I would just be overwhelmed. I would sign up for too much shit.
Yeah.
And I would be too busy, and I was an English major in college, and I got really good at writing an essay about a book I hadn't read.
Yeah.
Enough. I just knew how to do it, and I could skate by because I just had too much going on. It wasn't that I didn't, like, that I was like, fuck this. I was, like, just constantly being economical with my time, you know, like,
right.
So that I could go do the fun things, like being in the comedy group and doing theater and stuff like that.
We didn't have a comedy group where I'm from, so I just wanted to get college over with, and I took the exact amount of credits to fulfill my major and to graduate, not one more. I had it all mapped out by this guy. He's like, you need to take a structural system or what? And I graduated right on. I just wanted to end it. I just wanted to get it out of the way, but I'm glad I did it in retrospect. I mean, look, I've never shown my degree to a single human.
You should start showing it on stage.
It's framed. It's a nice frame.
That'd be cool.
Before I begin, I just want to show you something.
I need you to put your eyes on this.
It's called Bachelor of Fine Arts.
And it is fine.
It is fine, yeah. And I'm a bachelor, ladies. And then a one piece just with a zipper on the side. It's going to be a hot summer.
Howard Kramer's in the back, yeah. Arms crossed.
Oh,
that's my bit.
Jet ski lobsters.
We always have to talk about Howard.
Is our Howard Kramer.
That's our problem.
Admiration hour.
We do love him.
You do.
Sarah, do you have anything to plug besides Chrysalis, the new Schaefer album coming to you in June?
No, March 17th.
March 17th is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Celebrate with my album.
Gigs around town?
I would say go to my website, sarahschaefer.com.
Indeed.
Okay. And check out the calendar. I'm doing a lot of colleges, so if you're in college, look to see if I'm coming to your college.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
Good. Yeah.
Good way to make money. I'll just add that as a little industry side note, folks. Sarah's doing okay.
I'm killing it.
And you're not, you're not podcasting anymore?
No, not. I had a podcast with Nikki Glaser.
Yes.
We're it's kind of dormant. We're both just been too busy and in different places.
Yeah,
never
she's
in the same
a New
place
York
at the same
person,
time.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. And then I had a podcast come out last year on WNYC and Nerdist. Like, they partnered up for it. And it was like a season thing. Like, WNYC does seasons of things, and they are very slow to make decisions, so I don't know if I'll keep doing it. But you can go look it up. It's called Lies, and I just interview someone, and everything they say has to be a lie.
Oh, that's terrific. That's a great idea. That sounds fun.
I'm really proud of how it came out. It's really fun. So go listen to those episodes. They're all out there.
I really like that concept.
And they're short. They're like 15 minutes.
I'm sitting here thinking of Lies right now.
I was going to say, it's not a long one, is it?
No, it's definitely not a long one.
It's called Hours of Lies.
Well, ours is exactly an hour long. We have 7 more minutes left of that.
Love it.
We are going to do a comedy concert in here in Meltdown. Sarah and I are both on the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand in the back knowingly.
Well, you can
love it.
Contribute.
Yeah, judge.
Yes.
Be judgy.
Judgingly.
Be pleased judgingly.
You know what? And I don't want to discourage you, Sarah, but did you see on the thing that the it's like an audience participation?
What?
Huh?
Yeah, that's
why
the worst
do
fucking
I not
word.
Know? I that's don't pay attention when they email me.
I don't. I hope that's not what I think it means. That the audience will be participating. Do you think that's what it means?
Oh, man.
Those were the two words?
Sometimes it's fun when you show up to a show and they're like, okay, so this is a high concept show, and you just go out there and then you don't have to do any stand up and it's just like, oh,
right,
that was different. But then sometimes the concept's not good, and then you end up being like, why did I fucking waste my time?
Right, right. Yeah. Well,
but I don't remember. That's the thing.
I
don't read through the emails.
I trust Danielle and Aaron. That,
yeah. I'm sure
it'll be fun. Hopefully it doesn't mean it's not free for all of friendly heckling. That's saying economy. What? Like suggestions? I don't know what it means.
So it's almost like it's only the only half of improv is that there's suggestions, but then suggestions to stand-ups who don't take suggestions.
Yeah, that'd
be great.
Or you do a joke and then they pause and just give you a tip. I would end it with I would tag it first of all, and just the audience. That's a worst case scenario.
Torture time. Torture time at Meltdown.
Torture time. Ooh, talk about. Okay, I'll tell you about a show that's torture for the comedian, but really fun for the audience.
Okay.
It's called
Set List?
7 Minutes in Hell? I don't know. No. 7 Minutes in Heaven or something?
Like, oh, okay.
You do stand up in a room to a camera alone, and you have headphones on so you can't hear the audience through the wall. And then they pipe it into the theater. They do it at UCB Franklin.
Uh-huh.
And it was... I was like, I watched some of it from the audience and it was really fun. But as a performer, I was like, that is not something I ever want to do again. I was like, thank you so much for having me, but that was fucking awful for me.
Because right.
it was the for me, it was the thing on my ears that bothered me because I couldn't hear my own voice. And I felt like I was drunk.
Yeah.
Like, because I felt like I was slurring my word. It was weird. It was just a sensory, like, deprivation type thing.
Right. That's crazy.
And you don't know if you're bombing
right.
or if you're doing well. And it's like a social experiment type show. Show is cool. I highly recommend going to it. But if you're a comedian and you get claustrophobic or any kind of weird, you know, I don't know. Well, I was like...
I
that
feel like
terrible.
I never know if I'm bombing anyway, even if they're right there in front of me. I'm just like, this is terrible.
I do that too. I go, that was awful. And people go, that was great.
I loved it.
I'm very sensitive to when I'm not doing well. I know when it's happening always. You
me
know,
too.
And it does, set list, you guys mentioned it. It is horrifying. And while you're on stage, when I do it, I'm sweating. I feel uncomfortable. And I feel like I did doing stand up 15 years ago. And but it's good afterwards. It's like this exhilarating
feeling.
Yeah,
the adrenaline.
It's so scary.
I haven't done it yet. I got
it's very
booked
fun.
On it, and then I had a migraine that day, and I emailed him, and I was like, I really don't think I can do this type of show tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm,
right.
I
no,
can't
you,
look at
you
life.
You have to be quick, and you have to be like,
And he was really, he was like, absolutely not. Do not come.
You're, yeah. You
know, I've been booked on that show and haven't done it four times now.
Really?
And almost every time I would, I think I flaked straight out, just flaked two times. And then I had two very legitimate reasons the other two. But I'm scared to death to do it.
Yeah.
Scared
yeah.
to death to do it. But yeah. I really want to. I think it would be fine.
Yeah. It would be.
But around 5 o'clock every time, every day that I'm, when I'm booked on it that night, I'm like, oh, that's weird. I just don't feel well.
Yeah.
Or this isn't going to work out.
I wonder
somehow.
If I gave myself a headache because I was scared.
It is
maybe.
Scary.
That's
you know, my body just like went into like survival
shutting
mode. Was like,
down.
Get out.
You're not doing this.
I do not enjoy doing set lists, but I do ask to do it all the time, if that makes sense. I think it's good for me, but yeah, it's not enjoyable until right when it's done.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
How, oh, wait, that's how that's I feel about all stand-up.
Comedy.
Yeah,
right?
God, that's I really it. Don't enjoy it until it's over.
I really love watching watching it, and I love watching people suffer through it.
Yeah.
It's so funny how nervous people get.
Yeah.
And how great they do, and how on their side the audience is, and it doesn't really matter, like, because they're just up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think
it's
stand-up, you forget how much forgiveness is given when you do improv.
Yeah.
I mean, I started out in New York trying improv and did it for many years. Well, I did it for like 5 years, and it was, I was doing stand-up at the same time, and I would always be like, oh man, improv is like, you have so much more forgiveness from the audience because they know you're making it up on the spot.
Yeah, right. And there's
laughs
other people.
The laughs are coming easier.
Yeah.
But there's a different, like when you do stand up, you just feel so much more satisfaction when you do get the laugh.
Yeah.
Because you're in control and you had to force it and you're like getting it out of them. Like
yeah.
Wringing it out of them.
Well,
yeah.
It's a better art than
in other words, improv sucks and that's why I went with stand up.
Well, let's go do whatever this is. I'm a little worried about whatever audience participation means.
Definitely start getting mad about it now.
I'm upset. I'm gonna go in there with a rage and treat it like I'm in the inside
in the
of my car.
Just
blurt just racism.
Come out screaming.
Guns a-blazing. I want to just dedicate this episode to Harris Whittles, who is a person that I very much loved, and he's passed away. And so I just want to say that he was great, and I wanted to mention his name. And just end it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like that, too. That
he was
very
great.
Nice.
You're listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.